Hello, this is Becky Davis. I'm the senior producer on Second Shift in Season 2, and today is July 28th, almost 29th, 2007.
It's sure 29th right now. Yeah.
Well, in about 4 minutes it is. I'm here with Alexandria Gist.
That's me.
And Andrea Schubert.
And Treya to my friends back in Canada.
And we are going to record a commentary for episode 102.
Everything to Everyone.
To Everyone Part 2.
Part 2. And Everything to Everyone is, of course, a reference to Shauna.
The Harpy later references not so much Everything to Everyone, are you?
So we begin. We begin with.
Yeah, who's the one who says that?
Tyler
says it. Okay. Yeah.
I think so.
I think it is. I can't remember.
We should know our own show.
Is it Tyler or Mike that says that?
Miss Everything and Everyone Strikes Again.
Titular line. Who says that?
That's,
I think it's Tyler.
You just said titular line.
Yes, it is.
Good for you. That's Thank awesome.
You. So
that's Tyler.
It is
Tyler in the car.
Okay.
So we begin with a scene that would really be a teaser in the season 2 model. Here's Catherine and Jareth going to Puralo Tarantinity. Puralo Tarantinity. And
this is the first instance of Catherine going, "It's beautiful," which she does in every single episode that they ever have to introduce any sort of beautiful
really?
Building. Yes,
yes,
pay attention to it. Because Catherine has that line every single time.
Oh my God, really? That's funny.
So one of the things we have to do, again, audio-only medium, we have to sometimes explicitly call out how something looks like. So, like, "Oh my God, you kissed me." Or, "Oh my God, you know, the color's rising from the mist." Or, that's foreshadowing season 2.
Oh my God, my hand.
My hand!
You cut off my hand!
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you.
That is exactly
so here's So here's Catherine referencing, it's like a German cathedral.
Is what she says, yes. And it's good to have characters who haven't seen these things before so they can say stuff like that. Because if, like, Archon was talking about the university, she wouldn't randomly describe it like that. So, but, you know, it is hard to do that. That's one of the, like, we decided not to go with a narrator, and that's one of the problems that we have is not having, we don't have too much description.
Yep.
And that's what a lot of people, you know, my cousin who's, like, he's 18 or something, he posted on the forums.
A disclaimer.
I was trying to remember how old he was. To me, he's my little cousin, but he posted on the forum saying, "You guys should have a narrator. You don't have as much description as you should." And he actually posted a poll saying, "Do you think this show has enough description? Yes, no."
One of the reasons Brandon, John, and now Missy are as great as they are is that, oh, here's Catherine heading in the bushes. This is an ongoing theme.
Yep.
Yes. And Catherine says that later, "More hiding in bushes, yay," or something.
So,
right?
She says it there a little bit, and then it comes up again.
Oh, right, because it happened in the first episode, too.
Yeah.
So and, that's the second time.
Yeah, and then she goes hiding during episode 5.
Our writers believe in themes.
Yeah. Themes and foreshadowing, damn it,
well,
what the hell?
Well, they're from Emerson.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so.
Hey, you studied there, too, you can't diss it.
Well, I
yes,
left.
She can.
You left.
I left for a reason.
So.
We're not dissing people from Emerson, we love you guys.
So, it was.
It is
a real challenge to describe the action by showing it and not telling it. When all you have is audio.
Yeah, you have to expose everything through dialogue. We don't want to make that sound forced.
And I will tell you that what they do... What are you eating?
Cookies.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking Oreos, but these are less caloric.
Why, thank you. I will have one of these.
But anyway.
So, I'm really good, Donna.
You're talking about you can't describe things...
Yeah, I mean, basically, so...
Well, basically,
to finish the point, is that they did such a masterful job, and they continue to do so, throwing in little comments about how to describe something.
Gay writers, not for some just so
Yeah,
So I want to say something about Foley. We haven't mentioned Foley at all yet.
Oh man.
And this scene was my first experience with Foley, really. When we first started recording, when we first started the show, you know, none of us had any experience with audio drama. We didn't really think about it. We just kind of, I don't even know what Foley we might have had in episode one, because I don't think we really did much. And anything we did, I think Andrew just kind of came up with randomly. Yeah. But episode two is when we started realizing, wait, we actually need to make sound effects. And so I have a file that I called dinnersounds.mp3 or something like that. And I had a lot of fun with it because I took me and Paul and I had us sitting at a table and I recorded like a good minute or two of us like clinking dishes around and loudly chomping into food. And then I looped it and I put it over itself and recorded it, you know, more another track of it again, doing more chomping and clinking glasses and all that. It was really amusing. And so that was for this dinner scene.
So in this dinner scene, here is Zana explaining Dranmer and Drampenya and the Seekers of Truth. And this is the masterful Christina Milatovic. She is playing somebody...
Oh, I love Christina.
She's playing somebody, you know, 20-something years her senior, and she carries it off exactly. I wanted Becky's mom to play Zana, because, like, that's basically who it is.
But she said no.
And I'm a little bitter about that. And I'm sorry, Diane, but...
It would have been a lot of...
We love you, Diane.
Anyway, we love you, Diane. So...
Hi, Mom.
Hi, first cousin once removed, or something. Double first cousin.
I don't know what you call it.
Doesn't matter.
Family. Very involved. Family. So... This is more foreshadowing. We have,
here's... Why didn't you mention that before?
Why didn't you mention it before? Well, partly because when I wrote episode one, I had an idea of what I wanted episode two to do to set it up for what the rest of the season would be, but I didn't get it from the dreams. I didn't get it, the Shauna, like, I didn't get it. But I eventually did get it.
Well, we wrote, like, 13 versions of episode one. I mean, there's so many different. Mm. We went through that episode so many times. It was incredible.
Absolutely.
I feel like, have we ever released the actual first version of episode one?
No.
It's hilarious.
No, we haven't, eventually. But it is hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I like it. I think it's wicked.
I miss Mr. Peterson.
It was so funny because we're all playing. It was just Andrea and me and Lexi, and we were sitting in my parents' basement, and we each played, like, three characters, and it was just completely ridiculous and so funny. And it was our first experience of acting in an audio drama, and so it was wicked fun.
First one. That
it was wicked fun.
January 2006, mm-hmm. And here we are 19 months later, and we're going to Dragon Con, and
it was, like, when I first met Lexi. It was my first, like...
Yeah, their second 18. Interaction. Yeah.
I was 18.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm 20 now, by the way.
So, here we have Jareth explaining, you know, okay, well, so we're going to go to Dranmer. That's what Shauna wants to do. But Jareth says, well, we can't do it because it, you know, day of rest, and we need to wait a day, and we can't do it tonight. So we know where we're going to go in this episode. We know we can't get there yet, so we're going to fill it, and we're going to fill it with sword fighting training.
Yay!
Which is good times.
It's good times.
It was fun.
But it's a ripoff. And I swear to God, Joss, three. I didn't mean it, but...
We should have a little sound effects whenever you mention Joss.
Do-do-do.
All right.
Do-do-do-do-do. Take my love. Take my... All right.
Oh,
no.
Come on.
Thank you.
Four? Does that kind of...
No, that's the sound effect. In the Shindig, Anara teaches Mao how to fight.
That was my favorite episode.
And basically, without meaning it, and I swear to God, I'm not meaning it, Catherine basically directly quotes Anara with regards to,
Wait, what?
You'll never hit him swinging at that swinging it that wildly.
You're right. Oh my yeah, god. It's I never exactly even realized
it's
that.
The mirror is there. And Mike is Mal and it's all there. And so really what this means is I don't have any originality in me at all. It's
so
horrible.
So what I remember about the sword fighting stuff is that it was really fun because I had these wooden swords that me and Paul had that we were playing with. And I brought the wooden swords to rehearsal, and we were all sitting there and playing with them in Andrea's
driveway.
And Lexi was like super awesome because she knows fencing or something. And who else was really good? Do you remember?
Brad.
Because he's a LARPer.
Yeah, he is. So
stupid LARPers.
But I beat him.
Nice. So yeah, so that was really fun because we were all sort of fighting out in the driveway in Somerville, and it was really hilarious.
So not so hilarious is when we were recording Foley for the wood hitting swords after episode 3, and Andrew practically cut off my right thumb.
Oh my god, yeah. That's not so hilarious.
Yeah. I never heard about that.
Yeah, no, we were after, or sorry, we did that backfill for episode 5.
Yeah, I remember you guys fighting at that studio.
They
yeah.
officially put blood, sweat, and tears. Trust me on the sweat.
Yeah. Oh
wow.
My god.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, no,
oh
we
god.
Were. We,
with
we,
my wooden swords? It.
Yep. Ouch. Yep, and it was great sound effects.
Was it because it was like a splinter thing? Or
no,
like,
yeah, no. Just... He slid down the blade with the sword, and it like practically peeled off my thumb.
Oh my god! Did you have the black one? Remember that?
Much I don't remember that. Sorry.
Who shot one?
I was in the pain. I love this line. Yes, he certainly will. And this becomes a running theme, too. So we establish it early that Mike is in debt to Zana.
Oh,
and Mike is in debt
wow.
to Zana for a very long time.
That's funny. But in season 2, it is established
that...
Oh, she says
Made up for it several times.
But then he has to chop wood to make up for the broken dishware. Because he punches Jared.
Let's not spoil too much of season 2 ahead, because people are going to listen to this from the season 1 CDs.
Fair enough. Right.
Okay.
This is true.
So, again, so many things in this episode are layered in. This was not part of the stuff that I dreamt. Like, these were quote-unquote manufactured moments that, just foreshadowed everything in the future.
Sorry, this is a bit long back there. Like, no.
I know, I was taking a while explaining my point. God, you don't even have to be like that.
I was
like
just paying attention to the episode.
Sure.
Sorry.
So, here we see, here's the foreshadowing again. Shauna doesn't actually like the whole fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh, here's the other thing.
What?
Soup?
Soup Doug.
Oh, we love this joke way too much.
We really loved that joke.
This was one of my lines. This is one of my lines that actually survived.
Oh, you came up with Soup Doug?
So I came up with Soup
very
Doug.
Nice, very nice. Very nice. Applause for Soup Doug.
No.
That's funny.
Although, here's the thing. I remember that I came up with the line, and now I'll have to go check if that's true.
Yeah.
Because it might not be, but I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah,
it's possible. It might have been Andrew. It might not have been written. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I wrote it.
Okay.
Oh, well.
I really have no idea.
Anywho. So.
What?
Oh, God, I love Mike. He's so delusional. I love him.
Red Warriors aren't.
Oh, yeah, that's the blooper for his
arm.
Yeah, we do. We hear the blooper later.
Oh, it's so good.
But here's the thing.
It hurts my throat to think about.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about Mike. We needed a character that was going to be the one that would make the rounds. We need somebody that the people that we're panning to our audience level with the character of Mike.
Yes, Mike equals fan service.
Absolutely
not you.
He's constantly talking about video games. He's the one that mentions Neverwinter Nights, and does he mention Warcraft? I mean, he mentions all these games.
Yeah, all those stuff, and he continues to do that. Yeah.
So it's kind of a necessary.
Mike is the everyman.
Yeah.
Except he's a third string quarterback.
Second string. Right?
No, you said fourth string and he breaks you third string.
That's right. I'm sorry.
That's why the original tagline was
third string delivery, first string chaos. Who came up with that?
That would be
it
you.
Was me.
Go you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the woman, the myth, the legend,
Becky Davis.
Thank you.
Oh,
wait,
we
I'm a myth to someone?
Yeah. You're mythical.
You mean people think I don't exist?
You totally don't exist. No, no.
We're, I've never even seen one.
You're being put in post-production. You're not even here. You're not even
Wait,
here.
Whose house are you in then?
This is Paul's house.
Oh.
Well, then. Dude, is Paul pitch shifted up? Maybe.
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's
no, no,
amazing.
No, no, no.
That's true.
Well, Paul can do a lot of voices.
Listen, if there's anybody on this cast that needs to get their voice pitched up.
It's me.
It's you?
I'm kidding.
No, hun. I'm sorry.
What, is it me? Because sometimes Shauna talks like this when
I'm
when
the water girl.
You're the water girl.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There is a difference. There is a difference sometimes between Shauna and Becky's voice, and I don't know how much you can hear it, because when I'm really trying...
I always hear it.
When, thank you. When I'm really trying to be Shauna, usually Shauna talks like this. It's, like, a little bit higher, but she talks like this most of the time, except...
like... Well, early in the season.
Well, yeah, mostly early in the season, but sometimes later, but it depends on how lazy I'm being, and I hear it in my acting, and usually when I'm talking at Becky level, it's because I wasn't really into the character, and I wasn't really doing a good job, you know?
So there's Catherine kicking Jarrett's ass.
Ass.
Jarrett's
ass.
All right, I that would be four.
Because
Atherton Wang is the person that Mal is... fighting in the sword fighting scene. Four.
Oh,
I didn't mean to twitch.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know.
All right, then.
Yes, I'm truly a professional. I should be trusted with your properties. Let's see. So here's Shauna trying to fight. And here's background music being put in. And it's really one of the only times so far that we had done this. And at first, I wasn't really a fan of this background music in the show. And now it's, like, such a critical part of
that.
What we do.
Interesting. Huh? At first, you didn't want to have background music?
I really didn't.
I'd forgotten that.
Like, it never felt right. And it's not because the work is bad. It wasn't. Jason did great work. But it was just weird. Because I come, you know, from LARP play and improv theater play, and there's no music in the background from that. Or not generally.
But, like, TV and movies, always.
Yeah, of course.
So
it just makes sense. But, like...
But, you know... But you changed your mind.
I have.
Because it helps a ton. Like, I think the music makes a gigantic difference between us being amateur and us sounding professional. You know? Because we have this unbelievably professional sounding music that... I think the musicians are actually... one of the only people who have really done stuff like this before this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the writers have written stuff, but they haven't written audio drama specifically. But, you know, like, Tiven, I think, has scored
films,
right?
Yeah, he has.
So,
yeah, Tiven Weinstock. So,
Jason Hall before.
Yep.
They were, I think they're, like, the most professional before even starting our show that we've had.
Yeah, Jason.
Music.
It's true. Jason was an unbelievable find. I'll say that again. And he was awesome.
He was.
So, here's a little bit of foreshadowing again. Everybody take a drink.
Foreshadowing!
This is Mike and Shauna talking about, you know, I thought we never, because, And that's later paid off several episodes later, that it's explicitly said that Mike and Shauna were together for a while.
Sort of. Yeah.
During freshman week.
Yeah, a very short, like, we dated once or something.
Sorry, that was my interview.
A little bit of a thing.
A little bit of a thing. Is he a good kisser?
They were very short, so I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, wait, are you asking about Mike Hunter?
Mike Hunter or Mike Archer?
All right, moving on. So here's the real punchline about this. The writers didn't know. Come back here.
I will in a second.
The writers didn't know that Mike and Becky were an item at one point. They had no idea when they had written Mike and Shauna to be an item. I didn't do that. That was actually not in what I had visioned the character to be. But when did it, yeah. But when they did it, it just made sense.
Yeah, everybody wanted Mike and Catherine to be an item.
They were so Sam and Diane circa Cheers season 2, 3, and 4.
Wow.
Sorry. Okay. Hi. Yeah. TV.
But yeah, they're just so, you know,
can
against each other that people that are
context?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
People that are, you know, constantly fighting with each other, of course, eventually end up making out. This is just what happens on television.
Doesn't happen like that in real life.
Catherine and Mike are not going to make out. I'm sorry.
You don't know that.
You're right.
Totally
I'm not a writer. I'm not.
You know, I'm writing 2.07 now.
Oh my god.
No, Mike is gonna be like, Mike's still carrying the Archon torch.
Good.
Enjoy.
You know what? We're gonna cut
Mike
that part out. That doesn't.
Would
no,
die.
We shouldn't be talking about 2.07 and Mike and Archon and any of that. Let's move on. So where we are? Oh, right. Here's. So this is the beginning of. I love
not
that.
Real.
You know what else Gareth is? Not real! That's such a great line.
I had trouble with that line, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, that one, I didn't get why I was, it was weird for me to transition into that because I was playing the scene really happy and really joking around, and then the Gareth is not real, that was supposed to be like I was getting angry and I was lashing out, and it didn't really feel, that was hard for me to get to, and I don't know how it really came across, because it was... I was trying to lash out at Catherine for accepting
pushing.
The place.
But who would lash out at me?
You're so lash outable.
Oh.
Catherine is so lovable.
Aww. Everyone loves Catherine.
So.
And she hates everyone.
Yeah.
So here's the beginning.
God.
Here's the beginning of Shauna accepting
well,
that.
Well, Baker loves Catherine.
That's right.
Sorry,
that was a good
that was
scene. That was a hilarious scene with Zach Harmon playing the baker.
Yes,
yeah,
Zach.
He was
Zach on the forums.
But he's a good guy. But anyway, you were saying?
Sorry. You have something to say? Speak.
I like pizza.
We don't have any more.
I like
pizza.
Oh,
okay.
There's a song on Pump It Up called I Like Pizza. Oh, no, it's She Likes Pizza.
Okay.
She Likes Pizza?
On Pump It Up.
All right.
We were playing Pump It Up earlier.
Let's move
on.
Okay,
what's going on
the episode? See, now you've gotten a taste of exactly what our meetings can do.
Yeah, our old meetings back in the day, back March, April of 2006, we'd all get together at either Becky's parents' house. Dave and Diane gave me plenty of space. We all used to hang out with Becky and company. It was awesome. And then later on,
church.
Yeah,
church.
Yeah, which was briefly my church even. And then finally my place
Andrea's
in Somerville.
Place in Somerville, yeah.
So the second shift crew has a history of tearing through houses. We're no longer in the Somerville place where I used to live. We're no longer... in the place Brandon used to live, and now...
my church is still open.
But the church is...
Luckily.
Well,
the
church
thing about
awesome.
Us is we are loud.
No, we're not!
And we are annoying. And we aren't small, and we aren't quiet. And so we have managed to get ourselves kicked out now of two places, right?
Yeah, two places. We're good times.
All right.
And we suffer this for you, our listeners.
That's right.
We're doing all of this for you. Like this audio commentary, this is not self-ego-grandization at all. This is not ego-fulfillment. This is really work.
Sure.
I'm having fun. I don't know about you guys.
This is why you're a great producer. Because you back me up.
You're a yes player.
You've got my back. Yes,
and this is why I'm a good friend. Because I will tell you the truth.
This is a large part of what I do as second in command to Andrea is back her up, and sometimes that means yelling at her a lot, and you know, and sometimes that means backing her up, and you know, I do a lot of both of those things.
So, okay, the Teo thing. I'll talk about Becky as producer later.
Those are an interesting part of the show. I really enjoy that.
It was really... can we say what they used to be called?
Yes.
They used to be called components. And it was really funny one day when we forced Andrea to come up with what the Charandrian was, because the writers really hated the word component.
With
a
passion.
They were like, what is it a component of? And they didn't get it. Oh, can we say what Teos used to be?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Teos used to be... They when they were components, they could, it was like the negative OD stuff could drop into any item.
Into a non-living object.
So in the first pilot, it was in fact a plate that Zana was holding, a plate of food.
Yep.
And
the Legionnaire was going to sweep in and take
and
it.
Steal the plate.
Which is why
the
Mike,
writers...
Which is why Mike was attacking the Legionnaire, because he wanted to keep her from basically attacking Zana. Because to grab the plate, you'd have to savage Zana. And that's no good.
Yeah.
The while Lauren would have just...
Savage.
Sorry, I picked that up in Renton, Washington.
So, and so, you know, and the writers really didn't like that, and they really didn't like the word component, but they also, they have also teased Andrea many times about stealing dishware.
Yes. We just...
But they really didn't like the word component because they, you know, they were saying, what's a component of? And so I remember one rehearsal when we were just kind of staring at Andrea saying, give us a different word, anything, different word. And so she finally said, okay, the word is teod. And from then on, teod, it was the perfect word. It really sticks. It really sticks.
It sounds egg-like to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It just, it works. It makes, it feels right. And it's not really complicated, like...
Chop point oh five.
Or something. Like, there's some words that are really confusing, but Teo just works. And so, from then on, that's what it has been. In fact, the component thing, like I was saying in the last commentary, when I was going to play Shio in the trading card thing, one of the things I was going to do is come in and stare at a, and point at a component and say, whose is that? So the component thing was there. But, that didn't happen.
So, here's Shauna's clueful. Shauna finds the pebble.
Let's go. I want to go home. That's Shauna for you.
Yeah. I'm whiny in this season.
Yeah, you are.
And especially in the first few episodes. Especially, well, you get a lot, you get much less whiny after the scene that's going to come up.
The characters grow a lot.
But I'm still kind of, I feel like I'm still kind of whiny. Even like, not in episode 13, but like, even in episode 9.
Oh, yeah.
When I have had it up to here. Even though I'm fixing things and I'm forcing people to communicate, I'm still doing it by whining. I'm just whining louder.
So.
Becky is terrifying when she's insistent.
So notice here, Archon.
Becky or Shauna?
Yes, Archon. Watches the situation and picks her spot, and you can just, if you, I'm assuming you've listened to the entire season one, and if you haven't, you totally should not be listening to these commentaries. Archon picks her spot. She waits for a moment to find an excuse to take the Teoden back to university, quote unquote, and to not go to Draenmyr.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she goes to Draenmyr, stuff might happen, but more importantly, taking the Teoden
is doing her duty.
It's doing her duty, and this Teoden comes back later on.
Backstabbing traitor.
Backstabbing.
Sorry, that was Catherine leaking out right there. Can you tell?
Catherine and Archon, good times. Great relationship.
I do love that relationship. I like that relationship. I like Mike and Pesmer, and I like Zana and Catherine. Those are my three favorites.
Mm.
So here's some. We never use this transitional music again.
Yeah, I've never heard this before, except for the one time that I listened to it.
Yep.
Maybe Andrew doesn't like it. Well, he must not, because he's the one who inserts the transition music. So,
well, now we have other transition
music. Maybe he just
doesn't
like it. So we're at Draenmyr.
That gets, ill thought conceived. That for Mike even existed in that room.
Yes.
Never has a harsh action been taken? Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch. Except it's Catherine that says, maybe you should get out of here, Mike. Because like the first ill thought right off the bat, which is hilarious to me, because she wants to be the truth seeker.
Mm-hmm. So Andrea likes to compliment me here, so I won't toot my own horn too much. But I have to say that the Draenmyr scene, quote unquote, has been the phrase for having a big emotional scene of like a monologuing kind of one character's pivotal moment.
Yep.
And that started here at the Draenmyr scene for Shauna. And we've had that for a bunch of the characters now, you know, and eventually all the characters.
So I dreamt this. And I dreamt a little bit of this thing, but this was actually much better, you know, dressed up a lot more by Brandon and John. But once we get into the cave, it's actually mostly my writing, and the monologue is all my writing. The Dranmer response was not. But Becky had a ridiculous task in this whole thing here. Well, here's Mike. What do I need to do to become a pro football player? Shove out of the room.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Creepy sound effect, too. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, it's like a theremin, almost. You know?
Yeah. I think it was Andrew making mouth noises, and that was...
Probably.
Played around with it.
Andrew's an acapella singer, by the way, and he can make some amazing sound effects.
I'm pretty sure that Andrew could probably ape every single character. Male or female.
Yeah.
Ether Lowndes.
He couldn't play me.
He totally could.
he could play some version of Catherine.
Yeah, not the same.
That's right.
But I think Andrew could do pretty much all the Foley with his mouth if he wanted to.
Yeah.
So like, Becky has...
Like, he in our live version, in our live performance in January 2007 at Aresia, our sound effects weren't working because we weren't completely... together with that, we didn't set it up right, and for the Dranmer scene, Andrew just got up right on the mic and made these little mouth noises going like, I can't do them, Lexi's trying to do them, but he made these mouth noises of dripping in the microphone while I did the Dranmer scene. It's crazy.
So here it is. And
yes, here I am.
Becky had the impossible task of having to meet the expectations of me for this scene. This was the most important scene of the first part of the series, and this sets the tone for everything. Here is, you know, you can go back and listen to it again. She pours out her soul. This is her exposing her core being, saying, here I am, I'll do whatever it takes. How do I get these people home? And the first time Becky read this in the January 2006 reading, she was acting. And she never acted it again. After that, I had the distinct honor and privilege of seeing Shauna Brown in the room. And when she recorded the scene, at that wonderful recording studio in Somerville, with bands playing in the other rooms, with us under a tight deadline, with nearly a horrible recording setup, she nailed it, and nailed it to a point that got all of us involved in the very warm place we keep inside. I nearly cried. I did cry the second time she did it. She nails it, and here it is. Now
let's explain how we got the voices of Enora on here.
Yeah.
How did we even come up with that? I think it was an accident.
On the Brown!
Oh, Jesus. That was like Baltimore or something.
Yeah. So this was... These voices were Brandon, Andrew, Julia, myself, and one other person. And at first we were going to have
like one voice. In fact, I remember you describing in the original script as, I think this is reference number 5, as
that was the Drampenya was going to sound airy like,
oh, the Drampenya, not the
Norum. Yeah, she was like, going to sound airy like River from Firefly.
Okay, that was written in the script.
Five.
Person, yeah.
Yeah.
But I brought it on, so it's not really.
No, I was going to get to it.
Okay. But, so what was the original idea for the Enorm voices? Because I know this came out of rehearsal.
It was supposed to be
the original idea.
It was supposed to be
one voice, right?
One whispery voice.
Yeah.
But for, how the weird thing.
How do you remember whose idea it was to start doing this, like, everyone talking, everyone whispering at once thing?
I'll get back to that in a second.
Okay.
Because it's this. This is when she stops holding back.
This hurts.
Oh my God, Becky.
So can I say
everything?
Something?
Yes.
So about this, I have proof that I disappear and Shauna comes out when I do the scene when I'm really doing it, because when I did this scene live at Aresia last year or this year,
Becky disappeared from the room and also the stranger. It's bizarre.
Well, no, it mentally what happened is. I was doing the scene, and I was doing it in front of this crowd, and I did it, and I put my heart into it, and I did the best I could live, and I didn't hear anything, and I went and I sat down, and I was talking to Paul later, and I said, so, no one clapped, like, I kind of expected people to clap, and he was like, are you kidding me? Everyone clapped. Why didn't you hear that?
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me that I was so into the character that I couldn't hear anything else. I blocked it out.
That's
and it wasn't the acoustic. That was acting.
And
know?
And when we were, we all just broke into applause after I guess it was Andrew stopped the recording, and we just.
When I first did it in rehearsal, people clapped, and that was an amazing.
That
thing.
Was awesome too.
That was amazing.
So
that was the first time it was amazing, because that was the first time I really felt it. And I remember we even had, like, a bowl of water for me to drink from during rehearsal to make it really real, and that was, like...
Yeah, I wanted to try and, like the bread in Mike's mouth for the, this tastes really good.
Yeah, he
and
actually
had the bowl of water, and, like, it tried to, like, you know, put these texture things in there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of drained just even listening to that scene. Like, there are a few scenes that I have a really hard time listening to. I have a hard time listening to the torture scene in 8.
I
have a hard time.
I love that scene.
I have a ridiculously hard time listening to the finale, and I'll talk about that when we do the finale.
It gives me chills.
But, and there's that producer person again. But,
credits.
But when we got through recording this episode, and when I listened to the final version, I knew that we were going to stick together and do 13 episodes, despite everything, which is great, because there were many everythings to come, but we were in broccoli, and, you know, it's like being in love. You love broccoli? I love broccoli! We were very in broccoli at this point at the production, and
we were so enthralled with our baby that we had created that we were, like, hugging after all the rehearsals and stuff.
Yeah. I mean...
It was like, oh my God, this show!
So, Becky, and I've said this before, you totally and completely set the bar. And it has been met by others now.
Hang on, hang on, Luke. So, if we're going to have to fight wandering monsters, let's start practicing.
Oh, yeah.
Demon.
I love Mike.
Frightening Mike voice.
Man.
Sorry, you were saying about me.
I know Catherine's a bitch to Mike, but I personally love him. he's a lot of fun to work with.
So basically, Becky set the bar, and we've had Dre and Mercedes now for Catherine, for Jareth, kind of.
What do you consider to be Jareth?
It comes in season 2.
Oh.
You know, everybody will get a turn eventually. And, basically, if Becky doesn't do what she did then, I don't know if the show gets as good as it does. When I saw the Draen Mercene in my dreams from every possible perspective, as Shauna, as a TV camera crew, in the water in the cave as a boom camera as a as a boom camera above.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, not as Inorum, but as the water. I mean, Sammy. I'm talking like every conceivable. Wow. Yeah, I know, not healthy, totally not healthy.
Yeah. I never heard it in those terms.
So Becky really needed to get this right because I needed this out of my head and into the recorded medium.
So something I love.
Never hear the end of it if you screwed it up.
something I love about Draenor is that I really felt it so much that I made a little painting of it.
Oh yeah,
just Draenor.
Not a little painting.
It's a nice painting.
Well, it's nice.
But it's very small is what I mean. It's physically very small little canvas. But you know, I didn't draw on anything to look at the painting I made. I just kind of felt, what does Draenor feel like? And I made this painting. And I showed it to Andrea and I said, I'm not going to tell you what this is. And she was like, oh my God, your painting of Draenor is amazing. She got it.
Yeah.
You know, because I just felt it so thoroughly that I could see it so thoroughly. And there were only a couple times in the series so far where I really see and feel everything that's going on, and I firmly believe that you can tell when those moments are, because they're my best ones. You know, like when the Undying are attacking in 13, that's, I really felt that, and I really feel that when I listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
And like Draenor, and making out Jared, maybe, I don't know.
Natural.
Of course. So, on that very heteronormative note, I guess we should wrap this up.
Well, it's not like it made anyone else in the series, except for Mike, kind of, but not making out.
No. Besides, it was Dream Shauna and Dream Mike, so it doesn't really count.
That's right. It's the water girl.
You'll never know.
Well, sort of.
it was the water girl that was kissing. Okay, anyways, enough.
So, thank you for listening to our commentary of episode 102.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure.
You can give the boilerplate.
Yay!
Copyright.
And good night.
2007 Blue Sky Red Design.
Excellent. That's a good place to go.